The Anton Savage Show
with Kearys.ie
on News Talk.
We're 3 weeks away from polling in the local and European elections. The Irish Times has a poll breakdown of the three European constituencies, Dublin, Ireland South and Midlands Northwest. And when you see all of the various different names of the people who are putting themselves forward for elections, it is a cast of thousands. I mean, Midlands Northwest, I think, has, what, 26, 27 different candidates. That, of course, is just the Euros. On top of that, then, you have all of the various candidates around the country for the locals. So we thought we would try to get a bit of a sense of what are the issues that are emerging as people go through the canvas, and is there any particular commonality across those issues? So we have with us Rory Hearn, Social Democrats candidate for Midlands Northwest constituency. We have Kevin O'Mara, who is an independent local candidate for Carrick and Shore Municipal District. And we have Regina Doherty, who is Fine Gael candidate for Dublin in the European elections. The former two are in studio with me. Regina is on the phone, so that is where we will start. Regina, the kind of things that you are getting when you are knocking on doors, or do you knock on doors? Because with several hundred thousand doors to knock on, is there much point?
You try and do a bit of both. I think with the European election, I'm sorry, good morning. Good morning to you listeners. You try and do a bit of both. With European elections, obviously you try and go where there are people. And so you see a lot of commuter canvases at train stations in the morning time and the evening time. We do stuff outside football matches, outside shopping centres on Saturday, that kind of stuff. But I certainly do knock on doors too, because it's obviously traditional. And it is different. You have a different kind of a conversation with somebody at a train station than you would at their front door.
How so?
It's different. Well, so you have a little bit more space at a door. You know, somebody's not rushing to work or running past you and just taking a leaflet, or even outside a supermarket, somebody will stop and talk to you for a few minutes. But the conversation is usually kind of slightly different than at the privacy of a door, where somebody might have a local issue that they want to raise with you, or raise a concern about a national or a European issue. So I think it's really important that we do a breadth of all of it. But obviously there's 1.2 million houses in Dublin. You're not going to get to knock on everybody's door, you know, so that's now, the difference is true.
On that topic of the local issues, because obviously you have a very broad constituency, and you are also then going, you are seeking to be representative in Europe rather than domestically in the Dáil. Do people still talk to you about the potholes and health access?
Absolutely. I don't know whether that's unique to Ireland or not, but like all politics is local, especially for us in Ireland. So whether you're a councillor, a TD, a minister, an MEP, you deal with whatever somebody presents you with. So if I'm at a door and somebody wants to talk about, you know, traffic light sequences at the top of the road that's caused them, you know, tailbacks in the morning, that's what you talk about. Because whatever's important to somebody, it's what's important to you. So if you can help, you help. If you can fix or make representations, that's what we do in Ireland. And from the smallest, which might be the biggest issue to the person at the door, to the biggest issue, which mightn't even resonate with people, that's what we try and do. So you have to obviously try and pitch your message to your audience. I think that's important. But whatever people give you, you take away and you do whatever you can do without it.
Well, I mentioned we have Kevin O'Mara and Rory Hearn with us in studio. Kevin, give me the reverse view of that. You're running for the local election, Carrick on Shore Municipal District. Do people raise national issues with you? Do they raise the kind of things like immigration policy and that?
They do. Thanks, Anton, I suppose, and good morning. Thanks for having me on this morning. They do all the time. They bring up health, housing issues, immigration issues, everything you see on the newspaper and on the radio stations and on the television. They bring up all the time.
And of those, which are the prime ones that you're seeing?
I'd say they're the top three. I'd say housing, health, immigration. Health affects everyone. Housing affects everyone because there's a knock-on effect. It's like a domino effect. Like out the countryside, the villages like Grange Moclar, the Commons, they want to grow and people want to live in these areas, but their hands are tied because there's lack of infrastructure to grow the area, and they're trying to force people into towns and villages or bigger towns and cities.
And is there anger? Is there a plague on all your houses that we don't want to talk to politicians? Is there anger at the main government parties? Or are people relatively philosophical?
No, I think there's frustration. Frustration, I suppose, with the main government parties at the minute. And, you know, they see people, I suppose we have a housing list in Tipperary, and Tipperary County Council have done great and, I suppose, chipping away at that. But national policy needs to change to make proper progress. Because when they see people coming from different countries and jumping, they might be on a housing list for 3, 4, 5 years and they can't get a place. And then someone comes in and gets a place quickly. And I know it's not the same thing, but there's huge frustration there that there's a perception that these people are jumping the queue, really.
So it is. And when you're talking about housing, is it that is is it people looking to get the sort of the cliche that we hear of get the adult children out of the box room? Or is it people who are, as you say, on housing lists themselves who can't get permanent accommodation, or a mix of both?
It's a mix of both. It's a big mix of both because there's more people. The problem is bigger, I think, than people recognise. The amount of people that are still living at home with the parents and the grandparents, it's not measured on any metric, I think, that's out there. The county council have housing lists and they chip away at that and they might make incremental progress, as we said. But the people are still living at home. They're not on any list or they're not in any report that's highlighting this problem. And this is only going to get bigger until we can really, really ramp up the housing situation.
I was talking to a couple of candidates there the other day, and one of the questions I asked them was whether or not in an urban area you can do the thing of knowing well which way each house votes. In a non-urban area in rural Ireland, in small towns, is it still possible to know, well, I'm not knocking on that door because it's not worth the candle?
I think that's starting to die out a bit. There was a time when my late father was going, I think you'd call to a house and you'd say, that's a Fianna Gael house or that's a Fianna Fáil house. That's starting to die off. I think it really is. I think people now vote at local level, they vote for the candidate more than the party, really.
So it's always worth the fight.
It's always worth knocking.
Now, Rory, this is your first, I'm right in saying this is the first time you've offered yourself up for election, is it?
No, I ran in 2007 for People for Profit.
My apologies.
Yeah.
How are you finding the campaigning? Because again, you have a huge constituency and you have a vast array of other candidates.
Yeah, it's a giant constituency going from Kildare to, you know, Meath, Louth, over to Galway and up to Donegal, and trying to cover as much as I can. I have done a mix of both the canvassing, knocking on doors, and again, what I'm seeing and is housing is a massive, massive issue. And obviously I've highlighted in my research and that, but this is the reality. And I knocked on, you know, I was doing an estate in Galway last weekend. There was two people, one guy in his early 60s knocked the door and I opened the door and he was visibly shaking. He was saying he was due to be evicted in the next week. He didn't know where he was going to go. I get emails regularly about that, people being evicted. Then down in Carrick and Shannon, I was canvassing and there was a young couple. You could hear the baby crying in the background. They were saying, oh, we just can't afford this rent anymore. We're moving back with our parents. And striking in Carrick and Shannon as well. And other parts of the constituency is vacant housing, like housing sitting there perfectly good, just empty. And that, and people very, very frustrated with that. And the issues then of health, access to services for children is a big issue coming up. Access to schools, particularly the commuter belt. But then access to things like CAMHS coming up, access to, you know, huge long waiting lists.
And what do you say in relation to these issues when you are running for European election? Because child and mental health services is not something that you are going to influence from Brussels, nor is much in the way of domestic housing policy. So are you slightly torn?
No, I think firstly, to correct you on housing, there is actually a lot happening now at Europe and increasingly in this election. If you look across Europe, there is a lot of MEPs, particularly the broad left parties, are really pushing that housing does need to become a central European question. And for example, the European Investment Bank is investing in social and affordable housing in Ireland, could be investing more. Increasingly, there's pushes for the European Union to regulate the investor funds and vulture funds. So it's not true to say, and I've heard this been put around, that, oh, the European Union has no competency in housing. That's social policy speak that is very specific in terms of the European Union's allocated roles. But in a reality, in terms of legislation, in terms of funding, Europe does have a role in housing.
But it is infinitesimally small compared to that of the domestic parliament.
Of course, it is much smaller. And there's no denying that in terms of the domestic parliament. But what I would say is that there is a role for MEPs. And I don't think we haven't really seen it in Ireland. And you look across other European countries, there are MEPs who play an active role both in Europe and domestically. And they raise domestic issues and they put them forward. And on children, there is a thing called the European Union Child Guarantee, which is a commitment at a European Union level that every child should have access to housing and services. So that's something that does actually relate to CAMHS and those services.
We were talking there about whether or not people ask about domestic issues to European candidates. What about the reverse of that, Regina Doherty? Do you get much of an interest about the European project and about the state of Europe? Do people talk to you about what they want the Parliament doing, what they think the Commission should be at?
I think there's somewhat of a disconnect. And you look at some of the polls and people are very supportive of us being in the European Union and very much appreciate that Ireland is a better place and a better country because of what we've gained from it. But there is a little disconnect, and it's probably, Anton, because Irish ministers sometimes take the credit for some of the good stuff that comes from Europe when we transpose legislation into Irish law. And then sometimes we give out about some of the stuff, you know, that comes from Europe that we don't necessarily like, which is why I think it's really important that we're honest with the Irish public about what the European Union can and can't do. And I'm glad to hear Rory talk about how little impact Europe has on domestic Irish housing policy. But I think we need to talk about what it can do for us. And so one of the things that I really want to champion is more advocacy for our SMEs, because not just in Ireland, but right across Europe, they provide tens of thousands of jobs. Sometimes we talk about inward investment for multinationals a lot as if they're the only play, you know, jobs people in town. SMEs do a huge job. And the advent of the single market back in 1985, the world is a very different place to what it is today, with China, with American markets being very different.
But again, similarly, Regina, though, I mean, a bit like the thing of housing policy, if I'm making grommets in Tuam, you being in Brussels isn't going to greatly impact on me, is it?
Well, I would disagree. I think we have a need for a brand new comprehensive single market strategy, because if you're making widgets in Tuam, it should be just as easy for you to sell them in Tuam and Mayo as it is to sell them in Belgium, Luxembourg, Slovenia, any of those countries. And it isn't right now. So we talk about a single market and we actually don't have access to it. And I'll give you a practical example. If I want to sell something across the 27 member states, I would have to register for VAT in every single country. It's a single open market that everybody should have access to. You should only have to register for VAT once. The argument of the patent, for argument's sake, and I know we're not having the referendum in the next couple of weeks, and please God, we will have it soon. If I make something ingenious in Ireland, I shouldn't have to patent it in every single country across Europe. I should only have to patent it once. There are things that we can do, and we need a comprehensive new strategy to open up that single market and to address the competitive issues that businesses tell us. You know, we've had a lot of legislation in the last 5 years. The businesses have to now here too, and rightly so. Okay. But there's a glut of legislation that's making people lose their profits and maybe become anti-competitive, and we need to address that.
Okay.
I want to look at things like Erasmus.
Well, sorry, Regina, I don't want to widen it too much, because there's just a couple of other areas quickly that I want to get into with. Not at all. One thing that I wanted to ask of you, Kevin, the taxing nature of politics. You always get texts from people saying, oh, politicians this and politicians that. But the ones who are successful, it is a full-time, day-in, day-out, night-and-day job, and it is often fairly thankless. Why do you want to get elected?
That's a good question. There's times you question it. But I think if you can do a little for some people, if someone is looking for a house and you can help one person get on the housing list and get a start in life, it means everything. It's a huge sense of satisfaction just helping the smallest thing on the ground. And that's what you do at local level. You help people on the ground with basic issues, whether that's housing, planning, roads, whatever it is. A small issue to us might be the biggest issue in their lives. And if you can help them with that and point them in the right direction, we can't do everything for everyone. But people need help at the minute because they're struggling with, the structures of things, especially housing. The health system, it's a nightmare to navigate, even to get in, to get assessments. It's just so difficult.
I inhaled and managed to stop you talking. My apologies, Kevin. Now, the one final thing that I wanted to ask then was of you, Rory. You have managed to find yourself in an argument with RTE.
I have indeed, yes. I don't think that's a hard thing to do, though, Anton. They have decided in their wisdom that they've created this criteria whereby I won't be, I'm excluded from their debate for the Europe Midlands Northwest constituency on Monday night. It's very disappointing.
Now, has to be said, you and 19 other people.
Yes, absolutely. But I would think the difference with me and at least 18 of those others is that I am representing a party that has 6 TDs, 22 councillors. And that is one of the criteria that they included. They gave 3 criteria for why people should be included in the debate. One of those is that you would have that. But they filled the 8 from another 2 criteria. So my question to RTE was, well, why not just have 10 people? Why not just have 2 debates? I think that they are taking...
But there has to be a line somewhere. I mean, if you say that, the next candidate will say, why not have 3 debates and have 14 people? And before you know it, we'll have 27 people and 9 debates.
Do you think it's reasonable to have 2 debates? Would it not be an unreasonable thing? I was looking at RTE's schedule in terms of what's on the following evening and afterwards, and it's reruns of various programmes. Is that what we're reducing our democracy to?
Well, if you do that, you end up with six debates. So you have two, you would have to have, if you have two for one constituency, you have to have two for all constituencies. You have three constituencies. Now we have six sets of European debates over a week. And you begin to ask the question, what will the viewership be by the time you get to number five?
So the RT have set out three criteria. One of them, as I've set out, is that you have over five TDs. We're being excluded. So therefore, would it not be reasonable to have two debates that would include, at minimum, your people who cover those three criteria?
But I'm not suggesting whether it's reasonable or not. I'm just suggesting to you that the implication of that ends up being a week's worth of debate.
But I'm saying you could still have criteria that restrict. I'm saying you still have those criteria. But if you add two debates, you would fill everyone that you've set out in the criteria. And I just think...
Would you not go all the way then to say, well, let's have enough debates for everybody?
I'm not saying that, no, because of course you do have to draw the line somewhere and you're pushing me hard on that. But I think it's ridiculous that the Social Democrats are not in Midlands Northwest debate.
Rory, thank you very much. Likewise, thank you to Kevin and to Regina. That's Rory Hearn, Social Democrats candidate for Midlands Northwest, Kevin O'Mara, independent local candidate for Carrick and Shore Municipal District, and Regina Doherty, Fine Gael candidate for Dublin in the European elections.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiri's.ie
on News Talk.